All right. Welcome to LFP Group Call 61, everybody. And happy holidays. I'm going to start with that because it's been a hell of a year and we're sliding right into holidays, or we're kind of in the middle of holiday season. And I appreciate every single one of you so much. And I appreciate you for being here. And it brings me so much warmth and it makes my heart feel so warm that we can get together, even if it's thousands of miles away on a virtual Zoom call. It really does feel in some very important way for me, and hopefully for all of you as well, like we're kind of all getting together in somebody's living room. Maybe Sylvia's, the beach at Sylvia's right now. She's cooking the banana bread, getting together and sharing space and sharing some really quality time with each other as a group. And I know that most of us are kind of deprived of that, like super deprived of it, that now that we're like 9 months into isolation. So this time is so valuable. It means so much to me that all of you are here, and it really conjures this holiday spirit. That and the Christmas tree and the banana bread really helping too. So welcome. Okay, I just got a text from Ashley. She's on her way. So we'll go ahead and start introductions. And tonight, I'm not going to be sharing my screen. I'm not going to be teaching as much as I do sometimes. It's going to be more experiential in the form of sharing, reflecting, and potentially like kind of processing through some things with regard to self-compassion, and then what's on the other end of that spectrum from self-compassion, which can be kind of a icky, mucky, dark place for some of us. So we're going to be exploring some terrain that might be really stretchy for all of us. And as always, everything is confidential. This is a safe space. I'm so grateful for this space. This is our almost third year now doing these calls. And I feel so, so, so grateful that we can come together and talk about some of the stretchiest and most uncomfortable stuff that we experience and we don't really get to talk about very often, or at least most of us don't. So we'll be doing some sharing. And the point of that isn't, you know, hopefully this is obvious, it's not just like stretching for stretching sake, like let's all share our, you know, our wounds or whatever. It's for the sake of, and tonight especially, it's for the sake of the, what Kristen Neff, the researcher who kind of uncovered the self-compassion work a decade and a half ago, this shared humanity. And it turns out that shared humanity, meaning that we acknowledge that everybody is going through something, or everybody has gone through something, and we all experience the highs and the lows and the moments that bring bliss and the moments that bring pain and suffering. And one of the ways that we can combat, not only combat shame and kind of shift into self-compassion versus shame, but also as a really important centerpiece for self-compassion is, and we'll get to this a little bit later, is shared humanity, common humanity, togetherness. It's not just me going through this thing. It's not just me who takes a test and doesn't know if I aced it or if I failed it. It's not just me who, you know, asked somebody out on a date and they said no. It's not just me who struggles losing that last 10 pounds, etc. So knowing that we're all in this whole human life thing together is so valuable. So that's one reason that we're going to be doing a lot of sharing tonight. And another reason is because there is so much that comes up when we hear other people share their stories of whatever kind, but especially around a, you know, focus theme. And that can help us access parts of ourselves that we might have kind of closed off to ourselves or outside of our own awareness. So we hear somebody else sharing about their experience with X, Y, or Z can help us open up and help us to allow for the insights and the healing to come up that is helpful for us. So we're going to be circling in and focusing on that this evening. So we'll do an introduction round, and then we're going to go right into some reflection and sharing. Any questions before we go into, before I outline intros? Okay, cool. So in the round tonight, let's go for name, location, how are you feeling, and gratitude for self, since the theme is self-compassion. We'll go ahead and do gratitude for self and kind of start out in a hopefully warm and fuzzy place. And I will start with, I'll start with Maura. Hi, Maura.
Hi, ladies. I am Maura. Hi, Kim. Kim, I love your hair. Can I see a profile shot? Is it short? Is it all gone? Oh, my. Oh, okay. It's just tied.
Sorry, it's just braided. No, it's braided.
Okay. She's like all badass and all. I love it. Hi, Kim.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Carrie. Hi, Katie. Nice to meet you. I am Maura. I am in Milford, Connecticut, looking at about 20 inches of snow, which sounds all lovely and cute. Look at Fawn. Looks, she's like got all this envy, like, oh, that's so sweet. And I had to dig that shit out and it was heavy. So not. It is now like ugly snow, Fawn. It's like that got the dirt and the shit in it from like, you know, when you, you dump it over.
I'll stay right here.
You stay right there. You and Sylvia on the beach. I love it. So I am in Milford. I am feeling tired and cranky and almost didn't come tonight, which is exactly why I came. It's just a crappy couple of weeks and today was hard and, you know. And gratitude for self is... I'm just thankful to step up and out of my comfort zone, because honestly, it would have been easier to just pour alcohol and watch television than come here and stretch a little bit with you all. So that's what I'm happy. That's what I'm grateful for.
Hell yeah, Maura. Thank you for that. Thank you for being honest and showing up. That's what we're all about here. Yeah. Let's all give Maura some love for that. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll be mindful not to stretch you too much. I don't want the alcohol and the TV to win next time. Just kidding. Yay. Okay, let's see. Hi, Ames. Thanks for being here.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I am Amy. I am from Norristown, Pennsylvania, which is close to Philadelphia. And I also have snow, not quite 20 inches. My son was hoping for 20 inches, but we got about, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8, maybe. Enough to make it, you know, annoying in the morning trying to shovel out my car. But I am feeling comforted right now. I actually just had a crazy experience in my kitchen where I think my dad was with me.
Whoa.
I was cooking a veggie burger, which my dad is not a veggie burger eater, right? He is like meat and potatoes guy. And so I think when I was cooking my veggie burger, I saw like my one light bulb, like those Thomas Edison light bulbs that like last forever. One went out and then it came back on. And I was like, oh, that's weird, whatever. My house sucks, electric problems. And then it happened again and came back on. And then I started like talking to him like he was there. And then it didn't happen again the rest of the night. Like it's been fine. So I'm going to say that he was there with me, making fun of me because I was eating a veggie burger, because that's what he would do.
So
I'm feeling comforted tonight. And
would you be willing to share with the group, Amy, just the context around that?
Yeah. So some of you do know, my father just recently passed away, actually just this past Sunday. So it's been a little, and my relationship with my dad is a whole nother episode with Fawn, another. So it's been weird. Like of course I'm sad. And of course on Sunday and Monday, I was extremely sad and it was just, I don't know. It's all I can say is, you know, what I keep telling myself is that I know he's in a better place. Like, I feel like he was not real happy here on earth. And so I think where he is now, he's got to be happier. And I think to make to make myself feel more comforted, I say to myself also that, you know, he really wasn't there to guide me as a child. But I feel like he's there to guide me now. So maybe I didn't have him as a kid very much. But, you know, I know when he was older, like the past, you know, 15 to 20 years, he's been trying to make up for lost time a little bit. Still a grumpy guy. But, you know, I really do think he's watching over us now. And he's sincerely smiling and happy. That's what I like to think anyway.
Thank you for sharing.
Kind of where I am with, you know. But he's definitely not a veggie burger eater, so I think he was trying to tell me something.
Like, what are you eating? Flick, flick, yeah. Flick.
Where's the steak? And what I'm grateful for is, I mean, it's just my kids, having my kids around.
Great. Gratitude for self.
Oh, gratitude for self. Mm-hmm. I had my kids.
Boom.
Okay. Thankful for my ability. I kind of fell off track with my whole working out and stuff. So I actually did, just because of everything that's happened with my family and then the gym's closing. But I did make it in my basement today and I made myself work out. So I'm thankful for my self-motivation to do that.
Hell yeah. Good for you. Yay. Thanks, Ames. And thank you for sharing your recent loss with us. And we're all beaming love at you.
Thank you.
Big time. Yeah. Miss Kim, hi.
Hello,
Miss Kim with the awesome haircut.
Oh. Thank you. But it's not missing. It's just style different, but thank you. Hello everybody, I'm Kim from Youngstown, Ohio. I have snow, but probably not as much as Amy or Maura. Probably not. I think we have like maybe 3 to 5. I don't think we got as much as you guys, but it's enough. I'm ready to move west or south or somewhere where it does not do this. I'm over it. So yes, that direction, fine, yes. How am I feeling today? I don't know. A little anxious kind of here and there throughout the day. I just have a lot of things that are rolling through my head. So, but that goes to what I'm grateful for, because I have for the last maybe about 3 days, and including choosing to come to this, because when I saw it, I was like, oh, I need to go. Just trying to purposely practice to bring some of that down. So yesterday I got a chance to do a lot more of it because I didn't work. So I got a chance to lay in the bed for a little while, journal, read. I put on some music. I set an intention that was inspired by Herky, and just kind of let myself flow through the day, at least for the first half of the day. So today I took the time to kind of just settle into myself, kind of process through some things. So I'm grateful for that practice.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. That is self-compassion through and through. Thank you for modeling that for us, Kim. Yeah. And I know it's been a journey. What was that?
I said I was a little harsh on myself at first.
That's the warning sign, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Joanne, so great to have you here with us again. Hi.
Hi. So I'm Joanne. I live in Irvine, California, Southern California. And today I'm feeling very unorganized. And Ashley knows that that's probably one of my like gremlins, I would say. So I'm feeling a little bit uneasy about that, but this is a good session for tonight to learn to give myself a break. So I would say that's my gratitude for self, is that I'm open to giving myself a break.
Yes. Yay. That's amazing. Good for you, Joanne. Is that something that's newish to you, or is that something that you've done for a while, giving yourself a break or being open to that?
I think I've been doing a better job, you know, over the past couple of months and learning how to give myself a break. But more recently, just more of a self-discovery that I'm kind of imposing some of, you know, some of my own issues on making myself uneasy. And so learning to just say, hey, don't be so hard on yourself. It's, you know, I'm doing this to myself, right? Not others.
Thanks for sharing that. Who can relate with what Joanne's sharing, like kind of doubling up on the being hard on ourselves? Yeah. Thanks, ladies. Yeah. Lots of relatability, which is probably why a lot of you are here. You're like, how do I not do that? Thank you, Joanne. Sylvia, hey, so good to see you back.
Hello, glad to be back. So I'm Sylvia Sims, and I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. I am feeling more relaxed because I just finished my first semester of grad school, so glad to be on winter break. Yay! I am so excited. I'm feeling really happy, so my gratitude for self is just, you know, keeping at it, putting one foot in front of the other in the semester. Like, things did definitely got really tough and at times felt really overwhelmed, but just, you know, continuing to put one foot in front of the other and kind of stretching, you know, I learned a lot of new stuff. So feeling good, feeling grateful, and going to just try to unwind over the break.
Yay. Congratulations. That's such an amazing accomplishment. Yes. And that one foot in front of the other process, I mean, I can only imagine the mountains that you've been climbing and the valleys that you've been sliding into along your journey with that. So good for you. That's really, really amazing. Yeah. Beautiful. Katie, hi. Thanks for being with us.
I'm Katie. I am in San Francisco, California. And this week has been good, a little stressful. There's a lot going on at work. It's just this problem that keeps popping its head up, and I'm trying to get rid of it. But there are some people that are just making it super difficult, and I'm trying to be really patient and work through it. But it's been annoying and frustrating and stressful. But I am super grateful for this call because this topic is it's something that I struggle with. So I'm really excited to talk about it. And I've watched all the videos and done the self-compassion assessment and everything. So this was actually perfect timing.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing that piece of it. Yeah. Who has taken the assessment? That's a really good, I should have asked that earlier. Self-compassion assessment. If you haven't, that's okay. No shame at all. It's just show of hands. Okay. The self-compassion assessment is in the email that went out, and I'll link it in the call recording email as well. If you haven't taken it, I invite you to take it. It's pretty benevolent and in and of itself pretty awareness raising. And we're going to circle back and take the assessment again in a month, because one of the things we're going to be doing between this call and a month from now is implementing self-compassion. And I'm super curious to see what's going to happen with those self-compassion assessment scores when we actively, consciously support each other and support ourselves in dropping into more self-compassion. So if anyone hasn't taken it, go ahead and take it and just save your scores somewhere, and then we'll circle back to them in a month. It's obviously, self-compassion is something that's so intangible that we might, and given the human predisposition to be hard on ourselves, sometimes we don't know if we're getting better in our self-compassion, or if we're improving at all, or if anything that we're doing here is making a difference or not. So that scale is a really great way to just kind of get our thumb on the pulse of things periodically and see how we're doing. Okay, that was a little sidetrack. Ashley, hey, thanks for being here.
Hello. Hey, guys. I just remembered I have taken the self-compassion test, but it's probably like a year or so ago.
Take it again. Let's see what the difference is.
That's what I'm like, oh, well, that's a fun experiment. So we'll see. Anyways, yes, I'm Ashley. You guys, I know most of you. I'm in Los Angeles, California. We do not have any snow, but it is Southern California cold, so it's like 57 degrees right now. I am in a weird spot. I'm tired because of, as you guys know, I do both consulting and coaching, and the consulting stuff is sometimes very tiresome. So a little bit tired this week from that, but also just feeling a little weird. I'm in a growth spot, I think, with myself that's a bit uncomfortable. Not in a bad way. It's all good growth. But it just feels weird and stretchy. So I think that's, yeah. So that's, and it's kind of happened in the last, probably in the last couple of days. So just filling into that, exploring it, figuring out like what's going on and all of that. And I think in terms of my, like what I'm grateful for in terms of myself is being okay with that and be exploring that uncomfortable, weird growth stuff that's happening. So that's my gratitude for myself, where I'm just like, this is cool. Let's explore it and figure it out. And I'm okay with being uncomfortable for a little bit too, or however long it is. But yeah.
Beautiful. Yay. Thanks for sharing that. Yay for being in the growth zone, the growth edge, the chrysalis, right? If you will. You're like, these wings hurt as they're growing out of my caterpillar body. This is uncomfortable. And being okay with that, being okay with whatever the, like, you know, that growth stage is, that's a huge part of self-compassion. We'll talk about that tonight too, but the accepting of our awkward phases and our, you know, not necessarily being where we want to be, but not knowing where we're at kinds of things, like being able to, yep, this is where I am. Not gonna, you know, catastrophize it, implode on myself. Thanks for modeling that for us, Ash. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So I saved Carrie for last because for me, this is a really huge deal that Carrie's with us. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, Carrie. Don't worry. But I have been really, really excited for her to be able to join one of these calls. We've worked together for maybe a year and a half now, a little something like that. And this is her first group call. So welcome, Carrie. Yay.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here. So hi, everyone. My name is Carrie. I've been working with Fawn for maybe a year and a few months. And so this is my first call and it's a little stretchy for me, but I'm from Chicago. I'm actually living in Oklahoma City right now and I've been here for a few years and we actually got snow for, I think, the second time since I've lived out here in the past few years, and we got a couple inches, but it's already almost melted. So we hit 50 degrees and sunny today. But kind of makes me miss back home a little bit. I'm used to seeing a ton of snow on the ground, so I can really relate with you ladies that live on the East Coast. But tonight I'm feeling just kind of tired, a little unmotivated, starting to feel a little frustrated with my dead end job again. And just feeling super stretchy being on this call. It's kind of put me a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but it's a huge milestone for me. So I wanted to make it happen and commit to it and follow through with it. But the topic tonight really resonated with me. So I'm very engaged and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yay. Thanks, Carrie. Thanks so much for being here. Everybody, welcome Carrie aboard.
We're the best, Carrie. You're going to be so happy you're here.
Thank you for the welcome.
Yay. Yeah, we're a good time. We're a stretchy good time. I should make bumper stickers. We're a stretchy good time. That's just weird.
I think that could go a different direction, Fawn. I think that's maybe not the bumper sticker.
Stop it. Quality control Maura over there. Thank you. Yes, we're a good time. See, case in point. Yes, welcome, Carrie. Thank you so much for joining us for this one. And just a couple things. And for those of you who are kind of new or maybe have popped out and pop in from time to time, this is the safest space in the world. We are fun. We are supportive. We share all kinds of things. You don't have to share anything, or you can share whatever you want. It's all good. It's all received. We do not judge. We do not criticize. We're certainly not here to put each other under microscopes or anything like that. It's quite the opposite. We're like a warm, fuzzy blanket to wrap yourself into as you go through the human experience of processing the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and the learning and the growth and the stretchiness. So also, if somebody is sharing something that you relate to, we do this thing where you wiggle your fingers instead of like shouting out and kind of interrupting the flow. We wiggle our fingers if someone's like saying something that we totally get, or if they're sharing something that it's like speaking our language, you can like get all kind of wild with your relatability fingers. Cool. I think that's the housekeeping for the setup there. My check-in. I'm Fawn. I'm in Yalapa. I am feeling so grateful. Just super, super grateful today. Had a really powerful call last night with the foundation's team. It was amazing. Really stretchy, really stretchy. And then today I finally got to go to Puerto Vallarta, and I think all of you know, I live in Yalapa, tiny village, like nothing going on, and it's a pandemic. So I'm pretty much a hermit. And so I have all this time, like months, to create shopping lists of things that I'm so excited to go to a big city and like do and purchase. So today I hopped on the boat early morning and just like went bananas and did some shopping and went to Costco and took the boat back and saw whales. And it was just a really fun, lovely day. And now I get to share my evening with all of you. So it's like super high note. Great gratitude for self. I am grateful. I'm really grateful for my ability to not take shit seriously, like myself included. That used to be kind of a slog that I towed around like a wet blanket. Is just like taking things seriously, especially like judging myself, which is maybe a segue into tonight's call. And I just don't anymore. I just don't really find that it's very useful. So I'm pretty easygoing, and it feels good to kind of surf through life this way. So, all right, let's talk about self-compassion. So I'm curious, I'm just going to open the floor for like popcorn share. We'll do just a few minutes of this. I'm curious about what attracted you ladies to this call. Some of you have even mentioned like your recent things going on in your life or things that are coming up. So if anyone's open to sharing, like, what are you curious about self-compassion, or what perked your ears up to join us tonight? Any questions, specific questions or challenges around self-compassion? Just gonna open the floor, raise your hand, and love to hear any shares. And I might prompt if nobody volunteers. Maura, awesome. Thanks.
Mine is actually sort of antithetical, not antithetical, but like semantically antithetical. When I watched, why do I always forget her name? Neff. Kelly Neff.
Kristen
Neff. Thanks, Ashley. When I watched her TED Talk after our ego call, when we did this compassion assessment last month for our ego call, and then I watched her TED Talk, and she talked about this experience where her kid was screaming. Well, she has an autistic child and was just losing it on the plane, losing it. And so that was this moment where she really gathered herself and treated herself. Like she could not treat that child, because, and anyone who's a parent who's had a child lose it on a plane or in a supermarket or at a playground or any number of places knows that, especially in that sort of 2 to 6 year old range, there's not, you cannot do anything for that human being, because they do not have the capacity to accept whatever you're giving them or manage it. And so for me, whenever I'm on a plane and someone has a screaming kid, I always feel so much for that person. Like I always, because I, even before I ever have Michael, and we always traveled back and forth between California and New York, I always thought, oh my God, that poor mother. And it's always the mother, by the by, not to be completely opposite sexism, but it's always the mother. Rarely is it the father. And so when she told that story, I was actually sort of more engaged by this topic because of her, because of the shared humanity of it, not just the, oh, I should go easier on myself. You know what I mean? Like, so that really sort of called to me. So that was like a month ago when I watched it right after our call, because I was really interested in who this person was, and then watched her TED talk. And I thought that really just spoke to me. So it's not just about, that's why I say it's antithetical. It's self-compassion, but it's shared humanity. And that's actually what brought me to it tonight.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I love that you like your heart opens when those moments happen, like, because you're, even prior to having Michael, like you said, but like that empathy, that compassion. Thank you, Maura. Anyone else want to share, be willing to share? Joanne, thank you.
Yeah, so for me, I've just been noticing that I make other people higher priority than myself. And where I'm struggling is that, you know, I find joy in being kind to other people and helping others. And I find fulfillment there, but yet I don't prioritize myself. So I allow myself to make that a higher priority on top of everything else I've got going on at work. And then I don't carve out time for myself and I don't take care of myself. So I allow myself to burn out, or I allow myself to just be exhausted sometimes by giving so much. And so I need to learn how to take care of myself better.
Thanks for sharing that. Who can relate with that, overextending yourself at the expense of your well-being or health? Yeah, definitely lots of relatability there, Joanne. Thank you. Do you mind if I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Do you have a sense of what it is that has you putting yourself last?
Good question. You know, the natural people pleaser side of me, I guess. So, you know, I need to stop caring so much and trying to make others happy and making sure that I'm feeling accepted. And so as a result, I just, you know, I'm more focused on what are they expecting of me, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like there's a lot of value, I'm going to use a weird term here, like value units that you place externally, other people being happy, pleased, accepting, approving, and that is kind of takes the primary focus, and maybe you're in the background or the shadows or something. You don't really think about yourself as much as you think about that. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I know I need to take care of myself, because I notice that after a while I get exhausted, and I notice there's things about myself I don't like. I will get moody, or I'll not eat healthy, or not get enough sleep, and, you know, things like that that I don't love either. And does it make me feel balanced? And then so when I go on these like extremes. And when I'm on that low end, that's when I'm like here today, where I feel like, okay, I need to do something about this and get back to a balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, those extremes, like the pendulum, there's not like a balance to hold the container.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have a share or a question or something that feels like really up for them with regard to self-compassion or anything related? Okay. All right. I'm going to put something on the table here, and I'm going to hope that everybody shares. If not, I'm probably going to call on names. all right. So to set this up a little bit, self-compassion is a way of relating with ourselves that is mindful and kind and understanding. So it's this benevolent, supportive, healthy, positive way of relating with ourselves, nurturing. And on the other end of self-compassion is a whole bunch of stuff that we all experience. But I'm just going to use a few terms to kind of give it some shape here. So on the other side of the spectrum from self-compassion, we have self-criticism. We have self-punishment. We have self-judgment. We have self-denial. We have conditional self-worth, conditional self-esteem, conditional self-rapport, meaning it's instable, unstable. So there's a very, very, very dynamic contrast between these two ends of the realm here, if you will. And what we often find, and I'm definitely going to invite you to share some fingers here, what we find is often the case for ourselves is that we tend to be more on the self-judgmental, self-critical, harsh, you know, something's wrong with me, I'm flawed, why didn't I do the thing right? Why can't I seem to X, Y, Z? That person, you know, they didn't like my report. I failed the tests. I am bad. I am unworthy. I am faulty. I am X, Y, Z, right? Who can relate with some of that internal dialogue to some degree? I know I'm kind of summarizing things here, but right. Yeah, gremlins, in other words, right? We all now know the term gremlins. And that's one of the reasons I chose the terminology for gremlins. It's kind of out there in the self-developmental space, like in one wing of it. But when I first heard that, I was like, oh my God, I have to pull that in because it's really how it feels. It feels like we have this, like these creatures inside of us that are like clawing at our happiness and our confidence and our self-esteem. And they're just trying to like take us down into the doldrums. And I won't go into like how we got here, why we got here right now, because I did on the last couple of calls. So if anybody is like curious about like, why am I so hard on myself? Programming, conditioning, external world, society, dot, dot, dot. Nonetheless, we adopt this way of relating with ourselves that is more often than not pretty judgmental. Like I'm either doing good or I'm doing bad. And with that judgment comes conditionality. I'm either worthy and an okay human, like I am okay, I am good, I am lovable, or I am not. So I would love to hear from anyone who's willing to share, and again, I might just like boop, boop, call names. What is it, how does it show up when you're suffering the most inside? So on the other side of self-compassion is suffering. The suffering of all the things I just talked about, like separation from self-love, right? So when you're suffering the most inside, for a lot of us, there are these like themes, like certain things will kind of like put us into those modes more than others. Like if I get cut off in traffic, whatever. But if somebody, this used to be the case, like if, when people used to be like, how can you be a life coach? You're only 33. And I'd be like, mortified. They're right. I'm unqualified. I'm an idiot. What am I thinking? got over that, thank God. But so there are certain things that like our soft spots, right? Kind of our trigger places or things that tend to put us into these spiral zones. Who'd be willing to share how that shows up when you're suffering? Amy, thank you so much.
Yeah, this is an easy one for me because it happens so often, all the time, which is not a good thing. But like you had mentioned, like getting cut off in traffic, like little things that to me, that's like little things that don't even bother me. Like things like that don't bother me. It's more self-talk, negative self-talk that bothers me. So it's me doing it to myself. Or occasionally when I get the whole age thing, like, what do you mean you're like trying to do your own business? Like you're 47. Like, what are you talking about? Like, just be happy with your job. You have a job. You should be grateful. You're making a living. You have a home. And I hear it so many times and it hurts. It sucks. And it makes me feel like maybe they're right, because really, what am I doing anyway? I still haven't started a business after all this time. So, you know, I take what they say and then I kind of, like you said, it's just tapes that play over and over again in my head all the time. And it leads to, what it leads to for me is laziness, sit on the couch and do nothingness, beat myself up about, you know, not having the time to do this or that or the other thing, unmotivated. It's all like, and like Joanne said, it's like up and down, up and down, up and down, where I just would love to have just, of course, I'd love to have all up, but even just more of a balance or more of a way to get myself out of the pit faster. Which, I mean, obviously I've gotten way better than I was, you know, a year and a half ago. But it's still like, I really thought at this point I would have more momentum, and I don't know. I just get down on myself, which makes me kind of stop and not completely give up, but definitely take longer rests than I should.
Thank you, Amy.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. Who can relate with some of what Amy was sharing in terms of like how that shows up and what we do in response to when it happens? Yeah, lots of relatability. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else be willing to share how it shows up when you're suffering the most or suffering a lot inside with yourself, like shame spiral, self-judgment, self-criticism? Just like not being friendly. Thank you, Joanne. Go for it.
Cool. Yeah, for me, it's more I start doubting myself. I can see just clearly I'm losing confidence, despite the fact that I have no reason to not have confidence, right? And that I'm qualified, but I just start doubting my capabilities. And then I start thinking about, well, what if this, what if that? And then I don't take action because I'm doubting that I can do it.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, this don't take action part of it, right? We like get really hard on ourselves and then we're just like kind of tap out in a way, like throw our arms up and surrender and like, what's the point? You know, I'm not saying you say this to yourself, but yeah, who can relate with that? Like when we get hard on ourselves, we're just like, forget it. Yeah, thanks, ladies. Anyone else be willing to share how the internal suffering shows up? Yeah, thanks, Carrie.
Yeah. So I start to feel really just generally overall like defeated, not good enough. And then that makes me feel depressed, anxious, moody, just overall negative vibes. And for me, it tends to translate over into my personal life. So unfortunately, like, for example, I'll come home from work and my poor husband will bear the brunt of it, you know, and it's just, it tends to be when I get in that mode, it feels like a vicious cycle. And then it's like, it morphs into this like analysis paralysis where I start thinking of everything and anything. And then I just can't get ahead because I'm so overwhelmed with all these, you know, thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Carrie. Who can relate with what Carrie just shared? Yeah, I'm going to do one of these big time. Yeah, analysis paralysis. Yeah, and this the cyclical nature of it, too. It's like once we, I don't know, it seems like once we kind of hit a certain point in the downward trajectory, we like get stuck in the holding pattern of like just being in it, right? Being in that like, ooh, like I suck. What's wrong with me? Kind of land. Yeah. Thank you so much, Carrie. Okay, so I'm going to switch up the questioning a little bit here. Who, and be honest, who somewhere inside of you, there's something somewhere that thinks or tells you that you have to be hard on yourself in order to be the person you want to be, accomplish the thing you want to accomplish, do what you need to do. Does anyone kind of feel like, well, I have to be hard on myself or critical or, okay. I think I see some slow hands popping up. It's like fingers and then hands. Thanks, ladies. Who'd be willing to share a little bit about that? Like the part of you that feels like you need to be in a little suffering or a lot of suffering or hard on yourself to some degree or judgmental. And what are the stories behind that? If you can, yeah, Maura. Oh, was that a hand?
Well, I was just going to say, because when you're sort of working towards perfection or whatever you think is that thing that you're working towards, whatever that thing is, whether it's graduating school or getting a promotion or starting the business or, you know, you only have your own self to rely on. And so you feel like you have to push yourself, right? And pushing yourself means, to me, like being hard on yourself at the same time. Like if you don't push it, if you don't like make it difficult, then how will you succeed? Do you know what I mean? Like it's sort of a, if I'm not hard on myself, then I won't try for the next thing. But therein lies the sort of the viciousness of the cycle, because then you're so hard on yourself that you're like, well, fuck it, I won't succeed. I am too old. I can't do it. And then I think the trick is, I think there's much more of the previous conversation of the all of the stuff that weighs us down that's hard, and the successes are fewer. So quantitatively, there are more of the, I suck, and less of the, oh my God, I did that thing awesome. But the, I did that thing awesome is actually worth way more qualitatively than the endless numbers of I suck, I suck, I suck, I suck, or I can't do it, or I'm hard on myself or whatever. So I think for me, and it's definitely in the times of working, in the time probably of really being self-aware and working with you in the past year and a half, or of focusing on that, oh, but I did the thing. Oh, but I did the thing. And that's worth this much more than all the hardness I put on myself to do the thing. Do you know, like it's shifting your focus. It's shifting your, it might seem like only one compared to the
75 others, but the one is bigger. Does that make sense? So you know what I mean? It's just making your brain make that more important than the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. And are you saying kind of the default mode, though, is the other stuff is like more important?
The default mode is the other stuff. The other stuff is easier. It's easier. Okay. So everybody mock me, but I'm going to totally pretty woman it here because she's all, it's easier to believe the bad stuff. Does everybody remember the scene? Does everybody remember the scene? It was so touching. Richard Gere, Julia Roberts. It's easier to believe the bad stuff. But it is, right? That's easier. It's default mode. It's what we've been told. It's all, you know, it's easier because you can put a framework around that. So it's shifting the focus to, it might seem like a glimmer, like a less frequent thing where it's awesome or we're awesome, but you've got to elevate it, or we have to elevate it, not you. I mean, we as a group. And again, for me, like, I think this group and our shared humanity and the resources that we all have together has, for me, leveled it way the hell up to be able to say, okay, that one thing I did was worth way more than all the other shit that I thought. So.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Who resonates with that? Like having some part, like a part of your framework where in order to push yourself, you have to be hard on yourself. Like, how will I succeed if I don't push myself? And how will I push myself if I'm not hard on myself? Do any of you have like a similar flavor of motivation or, yeah. Okay, some of you. Okay, yeah. And then the roller coaster that leads to, right? Like Maura is saying around the this stuff and then the this stuff and then this, and it's like, our identity being tied to that, like, okay, I aced the test, I failed the test, I see the test. Like when our identity is attached to that, it's this whole roller coaster of like, not just the objective of my test score, but like my identity and worthiness, like attached to that roller coaster too. Conditional again, right? Versus unconditional. Thank you, Maura. That was super relatable, relevant. So this whole thing around like this part of us that feels like we need to be hard on ourselves, or we like that it's a part of what it's like part of what will help us in some way, or like there's some reason we open the door and let the motherfucker into our house, right? Like there's a reason that the gremlins are in here. Yes, it's partially past, you know, conditioning. But there's also something going on inside of us that is to some degree co-signing this causality, right? This like normalization of it. Because, you know, I'm going to get kind of extreme here and then I'll try to make it relevant. So we all have things that are non-negotiable to us. For some of us, that might be like killing. For some of us, that might be violence. For some of us, that might be X, Y, Z. And we don't let those things into our house, right? Like we don't walk out the front door and say like, oh, today I'm just going to go beat people up because that's, you know, what I grew up around. So that's what I'm going to go do. There are certain things that we like, we have guards at the gates that say, this is not allowed because it doesn't serve me, nor does it serve the people around me. But then these other things slip into the cracks, or we hold the door open and let them in because we feel like we're supposed to, or we have been conditioned that to be hard on ourselves, which is the majority of the reason, like how we got here. Again, last couple call recordings, we'll go deeper into that. But the fact of the matter is that much like a lot of the stuff that we've been taught, a fanciful example being that Santa Claus is real, a lot of the stuff that we were taught growing up, to the best of our parents' efforts and our culture escape and everything, everyone's doing the best they know how, but there's just a lot of misinformation passed down along the way. Part of that misinformation is this really masculinized, performative, industry motivated Brule that the harder we are on ourselves, the more judgmental and critical we are on ourselves, the more conditional we are about how we value ourselves, the harder, then that means that we're going to do better because we're going to need to try harder, right? There's some kind of interesting like XY value trade-off there that happens that we've been taught, right? Get good grades in school. for some, get bad grades in school or not be the popular kid or not be the pretty kid, the handsome kid, the rich kid, that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And quite a different experience. So the science is resoundingly clear. So any part of you that will creep up, because it still will, any part of you that peeps up and says, oh no, but you need to be hard on yourself. Like, you totally fucked that up. Like, no, you be mean to yourself right now. Science shows now resoundingly doesn't help. It holds us back. It crushes our self-agency. It crushes our self-esteem. It crushes our happiness. And it crushes our sense of being worthy of being alive. It has this really restrictive, implosive effect on us when we are co-signing this, the gremlins, when we're agreeing with the gremlins and saying, yeah, I guess you're kind of right. Like, I am kind of an asshole. Like, you know. So the first thing we need to do, and I've probably had this conversation with a few of you, first thing we need to do is like have a conversation with ourselves about who's allowed in the house and who's not, right? Are we going to allow these gremlins in the house? If so, why? Right? Let's check it out. Let's have a conversation with the gremlins. Hey, gremlins, like, maybe they have a message for you that they're like trying to pound their way in through and scream at you. So, and if we don't have a line drawn in the sand for ourselves, much as we do these other rules, like for, you know, for me personally, I don't hit people, I don't kill people. If we don't have this line drawn in the sand for ourselves and say, you know what? I'm no longer going to condone or co-sign self-suffering. I'm no longer going to like add to the suffering that I'm already experiencing because of whatever the thing is, period, right? I'm not going to be hard on myself anymore. That's the first and foremost thing we have to do, ladies. And all kinds of stuff can come up around that. And if it does, good, journal it out, because that's what's getting in your way from being kinder to yourself and more compassionate to yourself and more in touch with your humanity, your worthiness, and your value. So some people feel like they don't, and this is kind of a deeper conversation that I'm not going to sink into right now, but I'm happy to have it with anyone who's curious outside of this call. Some of us don't feel like we deserve to be happy or self-compassionate, or that we're worthy of being happy or fulfilled or self-compassion, like having self-compassion. And that's that worthiness part, that deservingness part can definitely be in there from oftentimes, surprise, surprise, childhood, right? Our younger years, where whatever the conditions were, we were really conditioned that we shouldn't be here. We don't belong here. We're not good enough. What are we doing here? We're in the way. Like, there's all kinds of messaging around that stuff that can really sink itself into us so deeply that we think it's true about ourselves. So if that's the case, I wish I could go into it right now, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to kind of keep moving forward. But if that's something that you find yourself coming up against, like, yeah, I want to be more compassionate. I want to love myself unconditionally. I want to be more carefree. I want to, you know, suffer less, but I don't feel like I deserve that. I feel like I kind of deserve to suffer. Please reach out to me and let's have a conversation. Or maybe we'll have like a side group call. We'll have like a like connection around that. If you do feel that way, you are not alone. Please know that. That is very important to know, that you are not alone in that, in feeling that way. So, all right, so drawing a line in the sand and making an agreement with ourselves that I'm not going to let those gremlins into the house in the sense that, I mean, they're going to come storming through the house. Okay, let me rephrase this. They're going to come storming through, but we're not going to invite them to come sit down for tea and like let them brainwash us to think we're bad, unworthy, etc. Right? So there's a difference between hearing the gremlins and entertaining the gremlins, right? And giving meaning to them and feeding them and making them bigger and bigger. We don't need to do that. We can let them do their thing and kind of stand back and be like, oh yeah, you're probably from when I was five and you're probably from this thing and that thing, but I don't have to listen to you. So what happens when something bad happens to us or we do something we perceive as bad? Three things. Oftentimes all three, but sometimes just one of these three. One is self-criticism. Two is self-isolation. And three is self-absorption, where we're just like consumed in our thoughts. We're consumed in our thoughts about ourselves. And this is really how we can know that we're on the opposite end of the spectrum. We're like, we are having dinner with the gremlins, is if we are being self-critical, isolating ourselves, or feeling really absorbed in our own world. And that's a signal. It's simply a signal. So that'll be your first like kind of action item, is to notice when, because it's going to happen, we're human. Notice when you are doing any one of those three things, when you're suffering, basically, right? Suffering due to your own kind of causes. And simply just notice, oh, okay, I'm being self-critical right now. I'm isolating, meaning that it's like, I feel like I'm the only one. I feel like uniquely flawed. I feel like I don't want to be around anybody right now. I'm embarrassed. I'm shamed. And then the self-absorption, right? Like just constantly me, 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 me. It's all about me. Center of the universe over here. Like poor me. I'm an idiot. Me, me, me. So when that's happening, simply notice it and set reminders, do what you need to do seriously that will help you realize, oh, the signal's going off, right? Kind of like if Amy didn't set the timer for the banana bread and right now there's like smoke wafting into her room, like shit, burnt the banana bread. So all these three things are our signals, you guys. Like the reason that this all feels so shitty when we're experiencing it is because it's a signal trying to tell us like, hey, you're off center. You need to come back to the center. You need to come back to self-compassion and care and love and kindness, because that's our natural state. Our natural predisposition, again, the science is like, thank goodness, can pretty conclusively out around this now, is we all, part of our common humanity is that we all have a desire to be happy. And we all have a desire to be safe and secure, especially when we're kiddos. And we have a desire to be free of suffering, not free of like edgy stuff or grit or, you know, pushing ourselves in like healthy ways, but free of the suffering that is this rejection of self, right? So we're all designed to thrive. Our biology is amazing. We as creatures, we're amazing. We're designed to thrive. And we have a predisposition for happiness and joy and connection. My PhD, my thesis professor, Dacher Keltner, is the founder of the Center for the Common Good at UC Berkeley, which is a partner of the UPenn Authentic Happiness people. And positive psychology people. And it's amazing, like the research that's coming out of the center is resounding that we are inherently good as creatures. Like we come into this world and like, we're good. Conditions shape us and muck us up and ding us and, you know, a lot worse than that as well. But I want all you ladies to know that you're not designed to suffer in so far as rejecting yourself. You don't have to You don't have to criticize yourself, blame yourself, shame yourself, guilt yourself, beat yourself up. It doesn't literally do anything. So if you do find yourself doing it, like, not, it's not, it's doing a lot more harm than good, and not in a way of like, let's add more shame to the shame, but just know that, like, straight up, it's not helping anything. And what Maura was speaking to earlier in psychology is also known as the hedonic treadmill, where we, when we feel good and we're like achieving and we're hard on ourselves and we're pushing and we're striving and we're like, we get to this point where maybe we get the promotion, we get the raise, we get the date, we get, you know, whatever the thing is. And then we kind of get the thing, but it, we don't really feel much better about ourselves for very long. It's like that instant hit of like, oh, like, yeah, I did the thing. And then it's like, on to the next suffering topic, you know, like on to the next thing to be hard about, on myself about. So it's this like escalator. I think Griffin, one of our sisters, spoke to this a few calls back, but this like treadmill, this escalator of like being hard on ourselves until we do the thing, and then we do the thing, and then we keep being hard. It's never ending, right? The cycle. And Joanne spoke about too. It's like we kind of get into this like, and Carrie, like get into this cycle. So first, know that you don't have, like, it's not serving you to do that, just like kind of straight up. If there's a part of you that wants to punish you, that like has that kind of self-worth value situation going on, reach out to me, because there's some beautiful work that can be done around that. And then so in knowing that you don't, that it's not serving you at all, it's like sticking your hand into the fire. It's like, I'm like, not really gonna do that at all. Make the agreement with yourself. Like, I'm just not going to feed the gremlins. The gremlins are going to be here, but I'm not going to feed them. And eventually they start to go away when we replace them with acceptance. And by acceptance, I don't mean we're just going to become lazy couch potatoes because we don't give a shit about life anymore and who cares anyway. No, no, no. Acceptance insofar as we can be present with what this moment has inside of it for us, especially emotionally. So I can accept that I'm disappointed that I didn't pass the test. I can accept that I'm 10 pounds heavier than I'd like to be. I can accept that, and the feelings around that of like, oh man, I really wanted the scale to look different today. And accept that those feelings suck, or the stories that create the feelings suck, but we're still okay. Like, I'm still worthy and valuable, period, no matter what. So being able to accept the hard stuff, accept the things we really wish were differently, right? And so Amy spoke to something that flagged something for me earlier around this, which is when, I say this all the time, but I'll say it again. When we argue with reality, boom, suffering. Boom, boom. Every single time when we argue with reality, like, this shouldn't be happening. I should be younger. I should have started, you know, years ago. I, you know, should. I should be thinner, happier. I should know my purpose. I should be somewhere else. I should be somewhere else doing something else. And I should be somebody else. That, all of that shooting on yourself is suffering. It is the definition of suffering in most philosophical camps. So acceptance, on the other hand, oh yeah, of course, like, this is me, I'm doing the thing. Thousands, millions of other people are probably going through this moment of frustration too, or disappointment, or hurt, or sadness, or hurt, and that's okay. It's okay. I'm okay, right? So accepting that is like huge. And then awareness, right? So awareness comes before acceptance, chronologically, or theoretically. So awareness is simply being able to be mindful, like, be in the moment of like what's happening right now. So you're feeling a trigger of anxiety, insecurity, insufficiency, right? So you're like, you feel it in your body. Like we feel it in our chest oftentimes because it's activating our fight or flight system straight up. It's like, I have to have all these papers in tomorrow. I have all these emails to respond to. And my to-do list is like going out the back door. Like all this stuff is going on in our bodies. Think that we're going into fight or flight because like our subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between a real danger and a perceived danger. So we've got this like system that's freaking out. And when we can become aware to that, right? So our bodies are also trying to give us these messages. So anytime we're self-isolating, criticizing, or self-absorbing, and then also when we're feeling those feelings of anxiety, self-loathing, etc., all of this is signal that okay, time to take a pause. Become aware of the present moment. Come into the present moment. Because wherever we just were was not this present moment, for sure. It was some other reality somewhere else, future, past, etc. So awareness, okay, here I am. Ground yourself if helpful, right? Just like stand up, shake it off, go get a glass of water, do some kind of a state change. It's referred to as a state change. Like do something physical to let your body know like, okay, I got your signal, and become aware of the present moment. And this is where all human freedom actually is in the present moment. Cause if we're hijacked by our thinking and our feeling, we're fucked, right? Well, we're not fucked, but we're hijacked. So coming into this present moment is where you get your power back. This is where you can say, oh, okay, gremlins, I see you. I see you trying to do what you usually do. And Coach Fawn told me that you don't actually do me any good, so I'm booting you out. Or right now what I need is to self-soothe. So I'm going to stretch. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to have a healthy snack. I'm going to call my friend. I'm going to journal. I'm going to Kim spoke to this really well earlier, what she did yesterday when she found herself like going into triggers. So it's a very active practice. It does become much more automatic because self-compassion is our natural thriving state. So we will come back to equilibrium more quickly and more quickly over time in practicing this stuff. We will, I promise you. So that's why I wanted to do the self-assessment now and then in a month from now to see, you know, and actually practice this stuff in between. So mindfulness, awareness, acceptance, and shared humanity, common humanity, thinking of other people who, you know, are maybe not necessarily struggling, but other people go through this too. Oh yeah, being human is fucking rough. Like it's a weird thing. We all struggle with getting organized, with getting shit done, with communicating with our loved ones. Like humans are weird, right? Like it's not an easy walk in this experience. And just remembering that, right? Like sometimes just remembering, oh yeah, I'm not a robot, or like, oh yeah, I'm not some fantasy version of some robot or something. Oh yeah, humans, I'm human. I go through this because I'm human. It'd be like a dog barking and being like, oh God, what was that just coming out of my mouth? Right? Like, well, you're a dog. So it's just innate that we have these struggles and these things that happen, that come up for us. And that's okay. It's totally okay. So one of the last things I'll mention here that I feel very passionately about, we'll go into a round of sharing here after this. So my pet theory, but it's not such a pet theory because there's a lot of science around it, is that when we're suffering in the ways that I've been talking about, we are kind of being self-obsessed. We're kind of like being kind of throwing a pity party in a way. Like it's all about us, right? That whole like self, it's all about self. So we're consumed by how important we think we are in the scheme of all of this stuff that's going on. We're the center of the universe. It's all about me, like, and how faulty I am and how incapable I am and like me. And that is you'll see in the workbook from the ego call, the last call, like there's healthy ego in the center, which is like, I'm capable, I'm worthy, I love and I'm loved. And then there's the strong ego and the weak ego. And the weak ego is the one that's like, I suck, what's wrong with me? And that's where we get stuck in that holding pattern of self-absorption, round and round and round, me, 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 what's wrong with me, me, me. So that's also just a signal that like, oh, okay, my ego's getting like kind of out of control right now. Okay, weak ego, like, thank you for signaling me. How can I help myself come back to a center where I'm not thinking so much about myself? And Amy actually highlighted a quote from the Inside Out Revolution, a book that we read in book club a few months ago. And this quote I love so much. And it says that humility isn't about thinking less of ourselves. It's about thinking of ourselves less. Or thinking about ourselves less. So this whole like self-importance thing, it turns out, and this is where my chips are right now. When we shift from, I'm so important, oh my God, everything me, and we shift into the present moment, we shift into gratitude, we shift into mindful awareness, right? Acceptance. We just shift our attention from me to something else, anything else. Water the plant, like do something to get yourself out of your own situation. And it's like, it's almost like a remedy, honestly. It's like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was taking myself too seriously. There's that. Moving on, right? So take that one with you and just notice, don't beat yourself up when you find yourself going into these modes. That's not the point. That's the opposite. But notice how much you think about yourself often, right? Like how frequently, how often you think about yourself. Don't judge yourself for it. Don't be like, oh God, I'm an idiot for thinking so much about myself. It's going to happen. But just notice that. And all that means is you're not in the present moment. That's all it means. All it ever means when we're off in the willy-nillies, we're just not in the present moment. So come back to the present moment, right? Have a piece of jewelry that's helpful. Sometimes that's great to have like a ring or a bracelet, a plant in your office, a pet that you like consciously are like, every time my dog or cat comes in this room, like, oh yeah, break from whatever I'm doing and just like pet, be present with my pet, right? My partner, my mother, whatever it is, but to like, get into the present moment. And I can guarantee you that you will find so much freedom and so much self-compassion for yourself, which is right there, already waiting for you. You don't have to do anything. It's just right there. So that's where I'm going to wrap the teachables of the evening. Now what I'd like to invite all of you to share as we wrap out here. And I'll hang for Q&A afterward, too, if anyone has any questions about that, because I just totally, like, info dumped on you. So what I'd love to hear is, of those three things, of the self-isolation, self-criticism, and self-absorption, which one is your drug of choice, usually? Meaning, like, which one do you find yourself kind of, like, in when you're suffering, self-criticism, self-isolation, or self-absorption? And feel welcome to share anything that has clicked for you or might be helpful for you to come out of that place and into self-compassion, or out of that place into the present moment, based on like what I've shared tonight, or based on your own intuitive knowing. So moving out of that fight, flight, or freeze state into acceptance, into unconditional love, into inherent worthiness and self-compassion and humility, presence. Make sense? This will be our takeaway round. Okay, cool. Who would like to start the circle? I'm happy to call on someone. Amy, thanks so much. Go for it.
Okay. So out of the three, I'm definitely self-criticism is my, that's where I tend to go off on myself. And then I think self-absorption too, if you're saying that self-absorption is more where it's about me, 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 which means like throwing myself a pity party. Is that what self-absorption is?
It's that and being absorbed in thoughts about yourself. So yes.
Then yeah, then I'm going to go with kind of both of them because I feel like I throw myself pity parties all the time, but it's all about self-criticism. I'm criticizing myself to myself. And then I even say to myself, oh my God, like you're totally going through self, be like, what is this that you're doing? Going through self-pity. I've noticed it more recently, probably because of what I'm dealing with. And then as far as, I actually just came up with something tonight, which of course I've heard it before and I know it's a common thing, but it's like, why is it like when Mara was talking, I was like bells were going off. Like, oh my God, like, oh my, why is it so much easier to crush ourselves? Like, why? Why is it so much easier to beat ourselves up all the time? Like, why don't I get, like, why don't I have that same emotion, but in a positive way when I do good things? I mean, of course I do sometimes, but they have to be pretty large things for me to like really celebrate. Like, why can't I celebrate the teeny tiny little wins? And that's what I'm going to start doing because I think that will help me get out of my funk. But why isn't that taught? Like, it's so easy to beat ourselves up and talk negatively and fill ourselves with self-doubts. And it's just so much easier because that's what we're conditioned to, I guess. I don't know. But why isn't it easy for us to say positive things about ourselves, even if it's just to ourselves, like not out loud, just to ourselves? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
It's so I'm going to try and practice that.
Awesome. Beautiful. Yay. Deep conditioning. Deep fucking conditioning. Deep cultural, like social, a lot of kinds of conditioning. Big time. Also, though, if I'm being real here, Ames, because the line hasn't been drawn in the sand, there's still some part that's co-signing or endorsing or allowing the gremlin, like feeding the gremlin pizza and listening to it. So
that's what I was going to say. Like, I have your unicorn up here still. And I'm like, why are there so many gremlins flying around inside me? And where are all the fucking unicorns? Like, where are sparkly unicorns flying around inside me? So, yes, you're right. Got to draw that line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just like, think about it, ladies, like our social lives, right? We've all had shitty friends. We've all had people who like have not turned out to be the most savory when once we really look at it, right? We've kept them around. Well, I can't speak for all of us. My guess, because we're shared humanity, my guess is we've had people around in our lives and they're not very great to us. Maybe probably not very great to themselves either, but we keep them around, right? And it's like, or you, like we date people that are, that's a whole different thing. Or we see our friends dating people or hanging around with people that are like, what is happening right now? They keep them around. It's like, what is it that keeps us in these tolerance zones that are self-sabotaging, right? Well, tolerations, we get to set them intentionally because if we don't, the world's going to set them for us. And by that, I mean the world is going to take full advantage of us and it's going to have its way with us in whatever way it wants to, thinks to, blah, blah, blah. So we get to intentionally set the bar for our friends, our partners, how our coworkers treat us, how we treat ourselves. So that line in the sand is paramount to reverse the conditioning. Okay. Thank you for your share, Ames. So, and I love the celebrating the wins, celebrating the fact that, you know what, you're valuable and worthy 1,000%. No one can take that away from you right now, always and forever, and always have been. Let's celebrate that too. There we go. Hell yeah. All right. Who would like to go next? I'm going to select a Hollywood Square. Kim?
Oh.
Go, Ash. Go for it.
Mine is, the one that I tend to go to the most is self-absorption. I do get in that, like, I don't know, make it all about me, or get consumed with all of my thoughts and thinking, and like, I don't know, should have done this, or I'm not, I need to be doing more, or whatever. So that's definitely something that I tend to go to the most, you know, in those situations. And then in terms of like a aha or a takeaway or something from this call, I just, I know at the beginning of the call, I said I'm like going through this like uncomfortable growth period right now. And I don't know, there's just a realization that I'm still, and it's fine, it's something to work on, but I'm still seeking approval and I'm still seeking acceptance. And I've worked a lot on that over the past like year and a half, 2 years, but it's still there. And I don't know, I just, that's what's coming up for me now in terms of, I'm still seeking that, but then I'm also like, well, I don't have to be freaking perfect all the time. Like, I don't have to know everything all the time. And so just being okay and comfortable with that, and knowing that that's, you know, it's okay and it's still going to be there at times or whatever, but just still doing some work. So it's fine.
Badass. Yay. It sounds like you stretched into even more acceptance of your stretchiness.
Something like that, yeah.
Self-development inception. Great. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's do show of hands, popcorn style, or I can just go around the circle. Either way. Yeah. Thank you, Kim. Go for it.
Okay. So I think I'd have to say with Ashley Ditto, self-absorption, definitely, and self-criticism. It kind of comes at the same time. So I don't really know which one comes first. So I don't know. I had several takeaways. I definitely know that I have a lot to, and I want to be more accepting, but at the same time, I still feel like there are some things that are very, very deep inside of me that when it comes to myself that I still need to, you know, flesh out, or to maybe just acknowledge and, you know, work on it as I go. So I'm not obsessed with it, because I know then my next step is to like, okay, I got to root that out, got to figure that out, got to fix it, you know, it's got to go. So trying not to, you know, just keep on that hamster wheel. So, but it's like when we're here, like it's like in my face. So for the second night in the row, but yeah, so keep them coming. I just, you know, I do feel blessed though that I'm in a place where I can be aware of it and, you know, deal with it as it shows its face. So.
Beautiful. Thank you, Kim. Yeah. I appreciate what you said there too about like the tendency to want to just go into problem solving mode, right? Oh, found the gremlin. Let's figure out what we need to do to get rid of this thing. But acknowledging is an important step in that process. So thank you for speaking to that. All right, I'm just going to start going around. Maura, how about you?
Sorry. I think Joanne had her hand up. She's ready to go.
Sorry. Go for it, Joanne.
No, cool. That's okay. Go ahead, Maura. I can go next.
She was totally ready. Mine, I think, out of the three is I definitely go right to isolation, right? As much as I want to be, as much as I sort of have empathy and feel for other people and absolutely logically know that we have a shared experience, when I'm going through whatever the thing is, it's very much pulled inside to nobody gets this, nobody around me, nobody physically around me in this moment gets what I'm going through. So I'm just going to keep it inside and I'm not going to, I'll just figure it out. Like I'll figure it out. I'll do it. It's fine. I'm fine. Good. So that's definitely where I go in those places. Not that I don't definitely indulge in self-criticism and woe is me and self-absorption, absolutely, but I definitely go immediately to isolation mode for sure. So.
And what can you do to cultivate shared humanity?
Really speak it out, talk it out. Like, right, when I'm at isolation mode, that leads to absorption, right, of the pity party. Then really say, okay, wait, it's not just me. Like, there's other people that get this. There's other people that have conquered this. That's, I think, a big word for me is conquering it. And then reveling in the victory of it, right? So remembering that the victory of the what might seem little, what might seem like, oh, it's not such a big deal, everybody's done it, it is a big deal because you've climbed out of it, you know, and really sort of elevating that victory. So I think I start at isolation and really like feel like whatever, I got this, and then somewhere find the shared humanity. So, but I live in isolation for a while.
Yeah. How has it felt to be in the, I'm just going to speak to something here. Hope it's okay. How has it felt to be in the, our Marco Polo workout group? Cause we share like, hey, we're doing our workout. We did the thing, but we also tend to share, like, if there's something up for us, we'll be like, and this thing happened today. How is it? Has it been helpful for you to have that?
Oh my God. It's huge. Cool. I think everybody, the contribution of the ups and the downs is really a big deal. And it's fun. Like it's fun because there's an envy factor. When somebody will post something and I'll be like, oh, I wish I could do that. Or I wish I knew how to do that. Or I wish I, whatever. But then they'll be that same person might say something 3 days later. Like, I didn't do that. Like I ate cupcakes. Like that's what I did. And you're like, oh good. Me too. Like that's what I did the day that I was so envious of your, you know, whatever thing that you posted about. So it's inspirational, envy, and then shared humanity all together. I highly recommend it. Ladies, anyone who's not in Marco Polo or not posting in Marco Polo, it's great for accountability and shared humanity. It's a cool way for us. I'm not that Facebook isn't and everything else, but I like it. I think it's so, the answer to your question is, It's great. It definitely evens the playing field, right? Like it pulls you out of yourself and reminds you about another person. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Awesome. I had a feeling. I just had to like fish for that one real quick. Thanks, Maura. Joanne, sorry I didn't see your hand up before.
Oh, no worries. So it's interesting as you listed those three because I think if you were to ask me several months ago, I would have said self-absorption. But I think now I've shifted and it's in the self-criticism mode. And so for me, what's kind of resonated tonight is that, you know, when I'm doubting myself or punishing myself is do that state of change. I do think I've been practicing that periodically if I remember, but now I need to find that token that reminds me to go do that state of change so that I think even if I just step away and take a walk or just go do the laundry for a second or do something else to change my frame of mind, that can help me get back into the present moment and kind of tell those gremlins to leave the house.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. So when the self-criticism starts kicking in, having something to help you snap into like, ah, it's happening. I'm going to switch it up here.
Yeah.
Cool. Yay. Feel free to report back to us too in the Facebook group or on the next call. Let us know how that goes. I mean, hopefully we'll all be sharing, but that's it's always a fun one because it really does work. It's like, yeah. Oh, I'm just going to do something different. Huh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cool. Sylvia.
All right. So I definitely all three, you know, but yeah, I think primarily self-criticism, because let's see, I was going through this earlier. So yeah, I definitely resonate with, let's see. Sorry, I just totally lost my train of thought. No, but yeah, so just kind of defaulting. Yeah, so the whole lazy thing. Sorry, okay, totally a little back on now. So feeling like, you know, if I don't criticize, then I will be lazy. So that's a big thing for me. And I think, you know, this was a good realization, especially watching the video that you had put in the email, just a reminder that is actually counterproductive, but there's just still that thing inside me that thinks like I really need to criticize or else I'll just be a total lazy bum. But that's definitely not true. And I can really see that and relate to what Kristen was saying in the video, how, you know, if you really have self-compassion, then you're in a better place and you tend to be more productive when you are in a better place versus I could, you know, really, as I was self-reflecting on that, see that actually, you know, when I would self-criticize, like it can for like a short period of time, she was saying, you know, help motivate, but long-term, like a lot of times, you know, I might give up or something. You know, so that whole thing kind of really resonated with me that I just really need to totally like shift that, you know, as a great reminder to this really doesn't get me where I want to go. And so just, you know, just a reminder to not let that be my default, even though it is so easy to let the criticism be the default. So that was big for me.
Beautiful. Yay. I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah. It's true. And I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to like challenge anybody who's still like, I don't know, Fawn, I kind of need my habitual self-rejection pattern in order to get shit done. I challenge you, anybody, myself included, to think about it this way. You're all here because you want to live your hell yes life. Right? I think, pretty sure. Unless you just like our company, which is cool too. But pretty sure we're all here because we want to live our hell yes life, which means we all want to thrive, which means we all want to be happy and abundant and purposeful and high vibration, to just put it simply. Now, what is it that has us thinking that suffering and self-punishment is going to get us to thriving and hell yes and joy and happiness and fulfillment versus like the energy of that behind our motion and the energy of desire pulling us forward? Choose desire. I challenge every one of you to flip it on its head, find the a desire in the thing, right? So it's working out. What are you desiring? Are you trying to lose the weight and your focus is on, I'm so wanting to lose weight? Or is it, I am so excited to look in the mirror and like, or be able to like jog without running out of breath, or I'm so excited. Whatever the desire is, focus on the desire. Focus on what it is. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because you're choosing to do the thing. What's the desire factor in that? Focus on that. Let that fuel your cylinders. Oh my gosh, like thriving will happen right now. You don't have to wait for it. So that's my friendly challenge. Let me know how it goes if that's something that's like pretty embedded within you. Let's see here. Katie, love to hear your thoughts. I know this has been something that has been in your consciousness. I've been like, poor Katie. I'm like, Katie, let's talk about self-compassion forever.
I mean, definitely for me, you know, self-criticism is the base one. And then the more I self-criticize, the more it becomes like, you know, self-absorption. But yeah, just in recent conversations that we have, like situations that I've been in my life, like self-criticism and comparison is just like so ingrained in me. And it's been really hard to like realize like, oh, maybe that's where it came from, and really be aware of like, okay, why do I actually feel like this? Why do I feel like I need to beat myself up right now? But that's definitely my default. But the one thing I wrote down from Kristen Neff's video, and I've watched it a couple times, is just like the number one reason for self-criticism is motivation. And yeah, trying to figure out like, if I want to do something, why do I have to tell myself like, you suck at this, you need to get better at it, rather than like, you want to get better at it because it's going to make you more confident and like make work a little easier and more pleasant. And like, maybe you'll be excited about doing this rather than like dreading it. And it's just bad for you. Like self-criticism, like it's stressful and it makes you feel terrible and it's not actually helping you at all. And I had something else to say. I realized like if I was my friend, I'd be the worst friend in the entire world. Like I'm, but yeah, trying to be nice to myself, but then also like, one of my challenges is thinking through like, okay, how do I be nice to myself, but not lazy? Like I need to be supportive of myself, but not like let myself off the hook. So I'm still like thinking through what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it sounds like there's a story in a lot of us that if we let ourselves off the hook, or if we're self-compassionate, then we'll be lazy. Test it out. You might be accurate, but might be surprised that laziness is at least the last thing that really comes up, maybe. But thank you for sharing all of that, Katie. I really, really appreciate your honesty and your willingness to like peel back the layers and get curious about where this stuff might be coming from so that you can process through it and shift it around. Yeah. All right, Miss Carrie, this is your first call. Do you think we're all crazy?
Nope, I'm right there with everybody. So like out of these three, I definitely experience a sampler platter of all three. Sometimes it feels like simultaneously, but I think mainly what stands out for me is self-criticism. And I kind of, the more I look at these three, I feel like they go in a flow, kind of like an order. Mm-hmm. Like it'll go from self-criticism to self-absorption to ultimately isolation. And I find like with the end result putting me in this isolation mode, this is where I start kind of doing the whole comparisonitis thing, where I'm comparing myself to others and thinking there's something wrong with me. I start beating up on myself. Why am I the only one who feels this way? Why am I the only one who's experiencing X, Y, and Z? And really from there, I just kind of draw inside myself and ultimately make a victim out of myself, really, when it comes down to it, when I think about it. And so I think just I've tried to change my mindset when this happens to be like more intentionally positive and more like self-aware of what I'm doing to myself by thinking this way. And really just try to empower myself out of it. You know, I think sometimes like when we're not aware of our thoughts, they can take over. And so
I've only really 100% of the time.
Yeah. So really I've tried to become more self-aware of it so that I can pull myself out of it when I'm going into that isolation mode.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So it sounds like awareness, like mindfulness, awareness, just trying to wake up when it's happening.
Yeah. Mindfulness is huge, and that's probably another area that I need to start focusing on for sure.
It's very, 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 very helpful.
Yeah.
It's a really, yeah, really helpful practice because present moment, right? Noticing without indulging. It's just working the muscles. And it's after not very long, it really does start to make a difference. So yeah. On that note, thanks for going over time, ladies. You're the best. And I want to highly recommend, if I was a fourth grade teacher, I would give everybody a Pizza Hut pizza if they did this activity. And that is to listen to the book, The Mindful Path to Self-Compassion. I'm going to put it in the call recording notes tomorrow. The Mindful Path to Self-Compassion. I like the audiobook because I can like rewind and re-listen, just like sinks in. I used to fall asleep to it like for years, probably months for sure. The book itself is really good too, if you're not into audiobook or you prefer to have both, what have you, but it will give you everything in terms of information and practices, perspectives. It's all supported by science. The author, Christopher Gerber, he is Kristen Neff's, one of her research colleagues, but more so focused in the mindfulness space, but it's just like, oh my gosh, it's so good. If there's one book that I would recommend, a few of you are already reading it or have read it. So it just helps unpack it all and like explain what the hell's going on in all of this and what to do. And it gives you actual exercises to play with that are really helpful and unpacks like what mindfulness is and demystifies that as well. So that is my invitation for all of you. As always, I'm happy to gift it to anybody that, no questions asked. If you would like a Christmas gift, just let me know and I'll send it over. And this is great. The really, really wonderful discussion, ladies. Thanks so much for opening up and sharing your experience around this. And I know I say this after every call because it's true, but it works if you work it. So the calls are helpful because they'll keep you in the space of chewing on things and shared humanity, and that's good, but it works if you work it. So make a plan of action for yourself, a simple one, a simple thing that you can implement that will help you take one of those three things or the sample platter and like infuse some self-compassion in there in some capacity. And then I'm going to invite us all to take the self-compassion test again in a month. So maybe that could be some motivation too. It's like, oh, it'd be great if I was more self-compassionate in January. What a great way to start the year, right? Being nice to ourselves and more desire-driven and thriving-oriented. So wonderful call. So much love to all of you. Have a beautiful, snowy, sunny, wherever you are. It's Christmas week, holiday week. Take care of yourselves. Be nice to yourselves. Eat banana bread. Send me banana bread somehow. And yeah, so much love to all of you. You can unmute yourselves and we can say goodnight.
Good night, ladies.
Thank you.
Good night. Happy holidays.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Feliz Navidad.